Good morning. Service one. Great to see you online. We just appreciate you joining with us. So many of you, this is your home church virtually, and we just appreciate that you're online with us this morning. I'm really excited about Operation Heart this year. Over the years, somewhere right around $10,000 each year in your generosity is able to be redistributed to people who are in need. We've targeted the daycare because God graciously gave us that portal into the city as a church years ago to purchase that building and then to believe God to raise a second not-for-profit corporation that obviously Christina oversees, and she's kind of the apostle of daycare on her second campus already. I keep telling her we're trying to, I kind of always hope we would have had a second campus first, but in prayer as the former Richelieu building is being readied for site number two. It'll be Heart of the Family, York Street, and she's just doing such an amazing job. And this week began some of the interviews with the five families that have been identified. And it's difficult. I wish we could show you pictures and be in on those interviews. It's a little bit difficult as we're giving to know what we're giving to. And I can assure you we're going to share as much as we can in protecting the integrity of a family, their privacy, and yet to reach into their world with generosity to be able to bless them. One family in particular that was displaced from their home because of a sale of they had a rental unit. It was sold. They've been living in a hotel with a number of children, and were able to secure a one-bedroom with a number of children. It's better than being homeless or nowhere at all, but have no furniture, no beds, no means to take those next steps. And so those needs are being identified, and your generosity will provide into that family situation in very practical but significant ways. And so if you've been thinking about what could you give and what am I giving to, I do apologize. Just by the nature of people's lives and just really the specificity of wanting to protect just their, you know, who they are, and yet to be able to reach in. And so as we identify some of those more practical needs in each of the interviews, before November 26th, we may reach out, because we're just about, somewhere between $3,000 and $4,000 right now, and we really would love to be able to be at that mark. Last year, we were able to give grocery vouchers to a number of families to distribute $10,000 for groceries, and so thank you, Harvest. Your generosity and your faith speak volumes throughout our city. I want to jump into the scriptures this morning. I've started a new series today. It's called Recover All, and it's based on the New Testament principle that as the kingdom of God expands, and it is expanding because God is an ever-living, everlasting God. I heard some statistics this week about the universe and how when God said, let there be, and there was, that the universe is expanding at a rate that we can't even comprehend, that it's just growing. And so, you know, scientists have called it the Big Bang Theory, that there was a huge explosion somewhere, someplace, and it just kept going and going and going and going. Well, we know who pulled the trigger on that. and however God did that, our finite human minds, but that God said, let there be, and there's continuing to be, even to this day, at a universe galaxy level. And so God's kingdom here on the earth is expanding and growing. And we're going to see some principles that God's desire is that the church would take its place. Yesterday, we honored veterans who protected soldiers, who protected our peace and our safety and our borders, and rightfully so. And yet the scriptures talk about us being soldiers, us being at war with evil and with the devil. And God has done it this way specifically, as we'll see in the scriptures, because he wants to make a mockery of Satan, who thought that he had destroyed everything that God loved. And instead, God had turned the tables on him. And at the cross, we see Jesus taking back all that was given to the enemy in the garden. In the New Testament, this principle that the kingdom of God is actually violent. There's a violence about it. And that the violent take it by force, Matthew told us. And what's being taught there is we can't just sit back in a day when there is evil all around us. The devil is active all around us. First, learning to take ground in our own lives as a Christian, and then learning how to take ground in our city and in our region, in our province, and even in our nation. And so recover all, and it'll make sense as we go, but I really feel to spend a few weeks in this area. And so let's just ask the Lord for his help. Holy Spirit, we thank you this morning. We say yes to you today. Lord, we say yes to your power and yes to how you open our hearts to understand the scriptures, the eternal word of God. Lord, we just thank you and bless each and every one. And Lord, even as Ryan was discerning today, just the tiredness in people's hearts and souls, that today would be a day, Lord, that you would strengthen the knees that are bent and the arms that hang down. And Lord, you do that by your supernatural strength and refreshing. Holy Spirit, refresh us now in Jesus' name. Everyone said. So when God placed Adam and Eve in the garden, he gave humanity with Adam and Eve symbolizing all of humanity was God's will, gave them full authority over everything in the realm of earth. So God wasn't the boss of earth. Adam and Eve were the boss of earth. God was the boss of Adam and Eve, but he was not going to interfere, nor did he interfere in the affairs of all things earth. And I want you, this is important, be tedious just for a second. Today's Set Up Sunday, to set up the series to understand Recover All. And so Adam and Eve are given full authority. And the reason I know that, and the reason we need to understand that, is that when Satan came into the garden to tempt Adam and Eve, God could have kind of watched what was happening at the last moment, pulled the veil off in between earth and heaven, and said, whoa, hey, hang on. Hey, slimy serpent, you're out of here. Adam and Eve, you go to your room right now. We're going to talk about this. We're going to talk about this later. They weren't children. God had invested on them, in them, the full authority of planet Earth. And so God could not intervene. If he had intervened, they wouldn't have had full authority. Say full authority. This is very important because in Christ, God restores his intent of how it should have been in the garden. And we're going to see that didn't catch God by surprise. God has had an eternal plan. His plan didn't shift when Adam and Eve got it wrong. God, knowing the beginning from the end, had an eternal plan. And so Adam and Eve, God does not step into the realm. He handed them the authority of all things earth. They allowed Satan and evil to come in. And so oftentimes people will say, how can such a loving God allow bad things to happen on planet earth? He didn't. Humanity allowed Satan to come in, and Adam and Eve passed the authority, the deed, the title deed of planet earth and all things in the realm earth over to Satan. And he's been creating havoc ever since. In fact, the Bible says that he's not in hell. The devil and his demons are not in hell. They are in the atmosphere around. They're in the air around us. They occupy the Bible talks about it as the heavens, but not the heavens where we see the stars, but just the pocket of air around earth. They are active in wanting to destroy what God loves, and that is humanity and the place that God gave humanity to live. Now, when Jesus came, he came to reverse that. And in Christ, we have an assignment to recover all. So it says, then God blessed them, and he said to Adam and Eve, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion. I just want you to see the scriptures. Subdue is maintain the order of creation. God put it into order. He said, maintain that order, and then have dominion. You be the overseers. You're in full charge. It didn't take God by surprise. In Ephesians, it says this, his intent was that now, this is God speaking about God, the Apostle Paul, God's intent is now, say now, right now, through the church, that's us, the manifold wisdom of God should be known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. In this atmospheric, where the principalities and powers, that's a phrase the Bible uses to talk to us about evil, demons, the devil, their work here on the earth. And while they're there, they're going to watch the church. Now, they're going to watch the church come into a place of authority because it has been given back at the cross. So in Christ, we have the title deed back in our hands. According to his eternal purpose, it didn't take him by surprise, the church is his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Jesus said to his followers and to Christ's followers today, I've given you authority. I've given you authority. So Jesus took it back, handles Messiah, and the kingdoms of this earth will become the kingdoms of our God and his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. We're waiting for that moment when Jesus returns to earth and there is full ruling and reigning. But until then, we are practicing for that day. And God wants his church to show the principalities and powers the authority that God has put back on planet earth in the church. I've given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome. Overcome. Somebody say overcome. That's not nose to nose, we just make it by. That's overcome all the power of the enemy, and nothing will harm you. In the Old Testament, a promise that the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. And I want to stir you to believe in these weeks leading up to Christmas that we're not the tail. The enemy is not the head. God is the head. He's the boss of us, but we can be in authority over our circumstances and over our situations, and we don't need to be wagged by what the enemy's doing in our lives, but we can start wagging the enemy. We are the head and not the tail. As you pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God that I give you this day, carefully follow them, you will be at the top and never the bottom. Some of us, I know, feel like we're under Satan's feet, but God's saying, I want you to understand that's a reversal. And what I want to show you is that as we recover all, as we get involved in taking things by force that are ours through Christ Jesus, that God's plan was that for you and for me. That's his plan to make a mockery of the enemy, not the enemy making a mockery of his church. And as we grow, as we mature, as we understand these principles, we'll begin to see that we have authority over the enemy. And we need to begin acting like we have authority over the enemy. And this is an active role that we're to play. This is not where we kind of sit back and say, okay, no, God, do it all. God said, I did it all. Jesus said, it is finished. And he's waiting for a response from his church, that we would move into a place that is ours in authority. I believe that, just honestly, we're all allowing the enemy too much activity, too much work in our lives, in our relationships, in our stuff, and quite frankly, then in our church, which causes us to be less powerful here in the region, and God wants to increase that power in this day, as we see God do some amazing, amazing things. So I want to talk to you about recover all. Man, I'm going to be once in a while just reminding us. I want to lean in a little bit. Lord's been speaking to me about our men, and you'll see it advertised, guys. Just a simple way of getting together, some camaraderie on December 2nd. It's a Saturday morning, and from 9 to 11, or maybe shortly after, we're going to shoot pool together down at Rack 'em Up. We've done that before. It's just really fun to get together and be together, so you can just mark your calendars. And guys getting together and strengthening one another. But I just also feel that, guys, we need to be listening about recovering all, because not only have we been given personal authority in our lives, but as men, God has positioned us in our families, in our marriages, with our children, and even in our workplace to be able to exercise the authority that God has given. Women, that doesn't mean that you don't have authority. You absolutely do. But honestly, I think the ladies get this more than the guys do. And I think sometimes, guys, we kind of step back a little bit and let women take that spiritual kind of life in the home and just all over. And honestly, I think if we looked at it, we would look and say, well, they're just better at it. They're just better. It's hard. And that's one of the lies of the enemy. And it looks different. Their spirituality often looks different of how they relate, but we can learn how to relate to God and relate to the authority that he's given us. All right, guys? So we're going to do this together. This is Set Up Sunday, as I said. And I want to kind of park in 1 Samuel chapter 30. And that's where we're going to, just for a few weeks. And what I'll do is set this up, and then I want to spend the next weeks with some high-level things I want you to recover. And you'll see what that is. I just think things that are important that we understand and make sure that we're practicing and living in our lives. But 1 Samuel chapter 30 is a story, and I want to kind of tell you the story, and then we'll look at a couple scriptures and then dig in the weeks to come. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, David and his army have been in a war campaign with Saul for 3 months. And they're finishing up that campaign. David and his mighty men, about 600 guys with David, and they lived this whole kind of group of people. And David will become King David. He's not all the way there yet. There's still Saul's regime. But David has been given, actually by the Philistines, a place to live called Ziklag. And Ziklag is where they are, and so that's where they're raising their families. That's where everybody's going to, when they're not at war, they're at work. And just life, day-to-day life is happening in Ziklag. Say Ziklag. Ziklag. And so they've been on this three-month campaign, and they're walking home. It's a three-day walk from their last place they've been to get back home to Ziklag. And you can kind of imagine, I think, what the conversation would go like as the men can't wait to get back to their wives and their family, and it's been 3 months and I can't wait to give my wife a kiss and a hug and grab my kids up and kiss them and just get out in the backyard and throw the ball a little bit, get back to some normal life. And they're talking about it. 3 days they're rehearsing it, and they're getting more excited as their step now is quickening a little bit as they're getting closer to Ziklag. I mean, they're tired. They're exhausted. 3 months of fighting. And it's not fighting like today. This is hand-to-hand combat kind of fighting. And so as they approach Ziklag, they can't see their little town yet. But what they do see is black smoke billowing up in the sky. Now they really quicken their step. What in the world is going on at home? As they come to the edge of their town, they discover that the Amalekites, they had engaged them in some warfare. This is probably retaliatory. The Amalekites have come in while they were away at war, while they were vulnerable, and they've taken every person out of town. Their wives, their children have all been kidnapped for the slave trade. There'd be horror as they come in and try to go through the rubble of what was once their home. There's nothing left. The fires that were lit have collapsed everything. We've just got a town of rubble, looking like an earthquake went through, or maybe like modern warfare where bombs can explode. And I mean, they didn't have brick and mortar, so the damage would be similar, though. The stones that were placed together to make homes or huts and would be just demolished. As they go through and scream out the names of their loved ones, only to realize they're not there. For a moment relieved, they possibly could be alive, but then in deep grief and sorrow, because they know that their young daughters will be sold into the sex slave trade of this other group of people called the Amalekites, that their wives will be destined to servitude for the rest of their lives, that their young men probably castrated to be used as eunuchs in the Amalekite economy. As they feel the deep loss at that moment, they're just completely undone. Completely undone. David himself weeping. David himself in such deep grief because of the loss of his two wives, Abigail and Ahinoam. The men around him, that grief begins to shift into anger. It begins to shift into deep bitterness now. And they begin to play the blame game. They want someone to pay their children, their babies, their infants, Their teenagers, gone. Their wives, gone. Everything they valued, gone. Everything burnt to the ground, gone. And in that moment, they begin to question. We've served. We've attended all the meetings. We came every time David called us to come. We did it. We served him. Why are we bothering to serve this God? Why bother serving David? What was it all for anyway? If God was just going to allow all of this to happen. Their minds quickly go from the place of understanding as David would have led worship with them. The writer of the Psalms, they would have sang together in the dark moments of warfare, 3 months in the campaign, and they would have prayed and connected with the God of the universe. But in this moment, separating themselves, sure that God doesn't care, in the circumstances of what they're living in this moment, that God is a mean God. He's an uncaring God. We don't like this God anymore. And they begin to pick up the stones from the rubble of their lives. And they get ready to stone David. Now, you have to understand, these are David's mighty men. That the scriptures celebrate the capacity. The movie 300, if you've watched that, a warring movie, how 300 men were so skilled that they took on the Persian armies of thousands and thousands. And David's men are like this. They are skilled. They are hard-bitten soldiers, and at this moment, they turn on David. Then David does the only thing he knows to do, to get himself quiet, to get away from the roar of the activity and circumstances, and to get a word from God. He knew he needed to hear God, not in the noise of his thoughts, not the voices that were weighing in around him, but he needed to get a word from God. David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I pursue this troop?" David, something rises up inside David. His anger is going to be directed a little bit differently. God, should I go after the Amalekites? How bad is this? How far has this gone, God? Shall I overtake them? And he answered, "Pursue, for you shall surely overtake, and without fail," what will happen? "Recover all." That's our promise, and that was David's promise, but that's a promise in the midst of the circumstances. And I believe that God wants to stir us to believe that no matter where you might be today, no matter what has been robbed and stolen out of your life, and maybe years ago, to begin to believe that God is speaking to us saying, without fail, recover all. Excuse me. We're going to fill in, but fast forward, David actually attacks. Something happened with those 600 men. We don't know. We don't know what David said. We don't know what took place. But they went from the position they were just in, and we're going to share in just a moment. How do I go from feeling the grief and the bitterness to being ready to go and pursue all? And that's what just these few moments left are going to be about, is preparing to recover all. Something happened with those 600 men, at least 400 of them. David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. David rescued his two wives. We're going to talk about that, guys, about how somebody else isn't going to rescue what the enemy's taken out of your life. I can't do that for you. Somebody else can't do that for you. But you need to understand, man, that you can do that for you. David didn't go and rescue somebody else's wife. David didn't go and rescue someone else's children. When they went on the attack, he started calling out the names of his wives, and he rescued his wives. Come on, we're gonna unpack this. I think it's gonna be incredible. Nothing of theirs was lacking, either small or great. Come on, nothing was taken or stolen. Sons or daughters, spoiled, or anything which they had taken. David recovered all. Would you say it with me? David recovered all. All. We're going to say it again, but would you put your name in there? Ready? Roy recovered all. Yeah, come on. We're going to recover all. And David took all the flocks and the herds that they had driven before those other livestock, and he said, this is David's spoil. Not only did he get back what was his, he turned the tables on the enemy, and he took back even more than was taken. What's been stolen from your life? Your dreams? Your joy? Was there a day that you felt like a free spirit, but today you'd be honest that life has beat you up, and post-COVID, there's still things that you feel like, man, I've lost my joy. I've lost being that free spirit. I used to be able to do this or that and feel good about life, but some days it feels like all I can do is to get up and just make it to work, and sometimes that doesn't even happen. Your family, your finances, your friends, your marriage, your kids. As we take an inventory, what has been taken from you that once was yours, was your joy, a promise from God, yet to be fulfilled, but you've turned your back and simply said, it's gone. It's gone. The Amalekites have taken it. The enemy has taken it. Joel chapter 2:25 says, I will restore to you the years. Would you say years? Did you know you can recover time? I mean, I wish I could go back in time. I wish sometimes I could go and correct the screw-ups that I made. And we can't do that. We can't go back and repeat things and get it back that way. But the promise of Scripture is you can get time back. I've seen over my life that when I get stuck in bad time, and I've just decided that as time is ticking on, time's just moving, and the enemy begins to lie to me and say, it's too late for that to happen. That's never going to take place because the tick-tock, the clock has run out. And the lie of the enemy is that we let go of something we've been waiting for, let go of something we've been believing God for. And yet what we don't understand is there's a principle that I call divine acceleration. And when the season of God comes, the suddenlies of God, that something can turn around, and what would take a year takes a month, and what would take a month takes a week, and what would take a week takes a day, and what takes a day normally would take a minute, that God can accelerate, and we literally, in the timetable of God, and if you're watching time tick by in your situation right now, you can't watch time according to how you see it. You've got to look to the eternal God who says, I can restore to you in a moment what 10 years took away. I can restore to you in a moment what happened 30 years ago. I can give it back to you. The divine promise. But it takes a people that understand that they've been given the authority to subdue and take dominion. It won't happen for us. God is stirring us to believe that we go after it and recover all. So let's just prepare to do that this morning. Let me give you a few thoughts in just a couple minutes that we have. I'll just list these things out. How do I recover all? How do I get ready? So David, how did David, before he ever marched into battle, and those all the men that with him, what was it that changed to allow them to do it? David was greatly distressed, for all the people spoke of stoning him. Because of the soul of the people, they were grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. Legitimate pain, legitimate circumstances. This morning, number one, you've got to decide what you're going to do with the stones from the rubble of your circumstances. You've got to decide what you're going to do with the stones. The men began to pick up the rubble, and they wanted to play the blame game. And I don't have time to unpack this, but I think most of us understand how this works. That when we become angry, we'll look everywhere else except just taking a moment to say, I am not going to live under the authority of my circumstances. I am going to live under the authority of God who loves me, who's too good to be cruel. He's too kind to do the kinds of things that are happening to me. And understand that the Amalekites, the enemy, has wreaked havoc. And yet, we can recover all. And that God wants us to go after what's ours. And we can begin asking the questions, did God allow this? Why did this take place? And what will happen, and the key idea I wanna give you, and I wish I had a little bit more time to unpack this, but often we pick up the rubble from the circumstances of our life and we throw it back at God. and we begin to believe the lie that God is uncaring, God is cruel, God is punishing me. These thoughts that do not belong to the character of God, and the enemy goes, now I've got you. Because nothing can separate me, the Bible says, from the love of God. Neither height, nor depth, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. But you can separate yourself from the love of God by believing the lie that he is unloving, unkind, and he's allowed something horrible to happen to you. Don't throw the stones. Don't question God's goodness. Don't accuse God for what's taken place. Instead, take your circumstances and build an altar. Build an altar. David was greatly distressed, and the people spoke of stoning him because of the soul of the people was grieved. Every man for his sons and his daughters, but David did something different. You and I need to learn how to do something different. He strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Another translation says he encouraged himself in the Lord his God. There's no way around this lesson. Most of us know, and we're going to open the front here in a few moments, and our ministry team is here, and they want to minister to you, and that's another way of saying praying for you and, you know, just touching heaven for you, and we all need that. We all need to be ministered to. But there is an aspect of going into the enemy's camp and taking what is ours that something has to rise up inside of us, and it won't happen if somebody else ministers to you. You've got to learn how to minister to yourself and bring courage to yourself. Because if you don't do that, you're on somebody else's gas. You're on somebody else's anointing. And though that's important, and we preach community, and you can't live without community, but at the same time, it's not just community. It's also times where we shut ourselves in and, like David, say, God, I don't understand this, but I'm not letting my mind wander. I'm not going to believe that you're the author of this. I'm going to believe a God who's for me and not against me. I'm going to begin to stir myself, and something begins to take place in the heart and soul that switches in our lives, and there's a holy a roar that rises up inside of us that we realize and recognize, I've been ripped off, but no more. Guys, you know, if we came home and somebody had been tied up our family and was rooting through our stuff, and there's a weapon in the corner that they didn't, we would grab that weapon and we would threaten the enemy. And if they didn't listen, we'd unload that weapon. We would do whatever it took to save our family, to save what is ours. And God wants that same thing in the place of prayer and encouraging, strengthening, getting courage by ourselves with the Lord. Let me give you just three quick points of what this looks like practically. Exodus, the children of Israel leaving Egypt. And God says, when Pharaoh finally let the people go, God did not lead them along the main road that runs through the Philistine territory, even though that was the shortest route. So the children of Israel are moving to out of slavery. God is saving them. But God also has a plan that they would become overcomers in the promised land. And so he knew that they would become warriors. They weren't yet. They were slaves, but he was going to train them to be warriors and to take what he had given them. And so as they're leaving Egypt, God says, there's a way I could take them, but there's an enemy there. They won't win this. They won't win. They don't have capacity to win this battle. God knows that. God knew they didn't have capacity to win the battle. If the people are faced with a battle, they might change their minds and return to Exodus. How do you get courage from God? When you go to the place of prayer, you need to know that you know that you know that you know that if you're in a battle today, it's the one you're going to win. God would not put you in a battle that you were going to lose. God's not putting you in a battle that you can't make it through. If you're believing the lie, I can't go another step. I know you feel that way. I can't take another step. There's no way I'm going to get to my promises. There's no way I'm going to recover all. I know. well, and I've been there too. And that's where you've got to get courage, and it's a supernatural courage. Don't you dare go to war without first strengthening yourself in God. And it might mean more than 10 minutes. It might be a little longer in the place of prayer where you begin to say, God, I need strength, God. And you begin to remind yourself, this battle is the Lord's. I will not have to fight. You will have to fight in the sense of he's going with you, but you got to go. You've got to enter into this thing. And God's saying, I wouldn't have placed you there if I didn't know you could win. I wouldn't have put you in this circumstance if I didn't know that you were going to kick devil all the way and recover all. You're not in a battle you're losing. You're in a battle that you're going to win. But you've got to see it and get courage. It rises up in your heart. Let me give you a couple scriptures you can put on a card and put it on your mirror at home. He increased his people greatly. He made them stronger than their enemies. He made them stronger than their enemies. Come on, somebody. God wants to make you stronger than whatever you're facing right now. Whatever pressure is around your life right now, God's saying, I want to make you stronger that you can actually pressure back and take the spoils of the enemy. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows. This is important. They had all of their warfare. We did a series earlier this summer about warfare, the weapons of our warfare, and using them. Children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They said, we can't do it. We won't fight. We can't do this. And the psalmist David here, or whichever psalmist it was that wrote this, said they actually turned back in the day of battle. They were in a battle they could win. They were in a battle. They were poised to win, but they believed that they weren't going to win. I want to show you why. They forgot his works and his wonders that he had shown them. They forgot the wonders. Graham was in this week, sitting just back over here, and he was telling me how he came up for prayer, and that Reg and Barb are right there. Barb, you prayed and shared your miracle that 7 years free of migraines. Is it seven or five? Seven? So seven's a good number, isn't it? Seven's a good number. Seven's a good number. You went after, you were debilitated with migraines. I didn't ask your permission to put you on the spot, but I'm just going to do it. And that you'd have to go, you have to go to hospital sometime, like turn all the lights off in the room, that kind of migraine. And so, Gray, you were saying you hadn't suffered from that degree of migraines, but just constant, annoyed with head pain, headache pain. And you shared your miracle. 7 years free of that. How many years had you suffered before now 7 years free? 25 years. And then you decided, I'm going to recover all. 7 years ago, God did a miracle. You heard about it, right, Gray? And when you received prayer at the front, you heard a testimony. You heard about what God, the wonders that God. And you told me, you said, man, I haven't had a headache since. I'm standing, believing. When we go to war, but we forget the works and the wonders that he has shown them. This is why it's important that we rehearse over and over. If you only have one miracle you know about, that's okay. Just keep rehearsing that one miracle. You'll get a second one. And then you can rehearse two and three and four and five. Or get around people that have the stories, the wonders that God has shown us. Rehearse past victories. Revelation tells us to worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. What that literally means is when we talk about the wonders, we talk about what God has done, it's just like laying hands on yourself and prophesying your future. I know the plans that God has for you, Roy. You're not going to lose this battle. Roy, you're going to be able to get up this morning. I know it feels like you can't. I know it feels like it's been, how many years has this been going? But no. He's the God. He's the God. He's the God that restores years. He's the God. He's the God that says, I'm in a battle that I can win. And all of a sudden, that Holy Spirit power begins to rise. And the spirit of prophecy, not what has happened back here, not what is happening, but you begin speaking out. You don't have to lay hands on yourself. I just do it because I just need God help me. And something will rise up, and you'll hear yourself saying things under the Holy Spirit unction. And that's where we pray in the Spirit. We can pray in tongues and something begins to build up inside. And all of a sudden, the courage begins to rise up inside. I can recover all. I can recover all. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let's exalt his name together. God is bigger than we understand. But in the place of worship, he, by the Holy Spirit, he gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and our problems get smaller and smaller and smaller. I believe I'm talking. Would you stand to your feet this morning? I believe I'm talking to some soldiers and some warriors. We're going to talk about principles next week. I want to talk to you about recovering your identity in Christ. Some of you don't believe who you are, who God says you are. You're still wrestling under who your mom and dad said you were, or coach said you are, or life has said you are. I'm going to stir you to believe to go get your identity. Go get who God says you are. But this morning, with every head bowed, every eye closed in this moment, that I just hope I've given you some principles today, stirred you a little bit today to go home and get ready to recover. Get ready. Begin to stir yourself. You're in a battle, you're going to win it. Come on. There's scriptures that you can rehearse, the things that God has said. You can begin to get ready to recover all. Lord, all across this room right now, I just pray, Lord, that the courage of God would begin to rise. Lord, that people would say, I'm going to get a hold of God this week. I'm going to get a hold of God for me. Lord, thank you. When you minister and you use somebody else, but there is a principle that as we grow, we've got to grow. And we need to learn how to strengthen ourselves in you. Lord, this is a warrior principle. I pray for the person who might just be a week old in Jesus. Just last week made a decision. They're hearing this by the Holy Spirit. Lord, they're learning quick that they can get a hold of God. And God speaks, and I will say yes. I will go into battle. I won't turn back because I'm not going to forget what God has done. I'm not going to forget what he's done for me, for my family, in days gone by. He's going to do it again and again and again and again and again until we recover all. Lord, you've spoken to this house about this region. Lord, how we would have representation of churches, Lord, that we would help oversee in this region. Father, I pray for David Merrick today. Lord, we believe for Montreal. We believe, Lord, that you would open the strategy for this great young man, Lord, who has a vision to go and recover, Lord, a section of that city. And if we have faith for it, and he has faith for it, an entire city would hear about the miracles, the wonders of God, and be turned to you. Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that we have a capacity in Jesus today to recover all. As we just stand in this moment, as I'm praying, I hope that you're just kind of rehearsing what has been taken. The Holy Spirit will have already spoken to you in this service. A dream, it might be about your children. It might be about your grandchildren. It might be about a promise. It might be about something from another day. It might be your health. It might be your finances. Maybe years ago, a deal went bad and you entered in with someone you trusted. You gave your money to them and that thing flushed down the toilet. I'm telling you, whoever you are, if you're watching online, I'm saying this by the Spirit of God. I feel this is a situation and you said, well, money comes, money goes, and that money, I'll never see it again. And I believe God is promising right now, if you'll go and recover, and it doesn't mean you go back to that circumstance or situation. It's that you believe God for a divine opportunity that is going to restore every penny and then the spoils of the years that have gone between then and now. In Jesus' name, if that's for you, you take it right now, right now, right now. You just receive that. Just before we shift gears and we're gonna celebrate and God's encouraging, but I wanna ask if there's anyone in the room today or online, you've never invited Jesus into your life. And you know that you feel like you've been, man, kicked to the curb at life. Life is beating you up all of the time. In fact, you've wondered, if this is all there is, I don't even know if I want this life. And God promises you eternal life. And eternal life isn't when you die and go to heaven. Eternal life begins the moment you receive Jesus, the giver of eternal life, into your life. You invite him in to forgive your sin, to make you new. If that's you this morning, We do this every week. Most of us in the room have made this decision, but I don't want to close this service without giving you the opportunity online or in this room. What we do is something kind of simple. I just count down 3, 2, and 1. When I get to 1, you throw your hand up in the air. No one's looking. We all have our heads bowed for privacy. But in this moment, to celebrate, this is your day to be born again, to receive eternal life. If that's you today, 3, 2, it's for you. 1, receive it now. Raise your hand. Let me see it. If you're in the room, if you're online, text in, I'm making a decision today. Is there anyone in the room? I just want to scan. If you see someone and I don't, would you just wave at me? You know, church, just for the sake of making sure we never end. No, I didn't see a hand today, but perhaps online or maybe someone just wanted to but didn't. We pray this prayer. Let's pray it together right now. Dear Jesus, thank you that you love me. Come into my life. I know that you died on the cross for me. Forgive my sin. I repent. I don't go my way any longer. I go your way into eternal life. I receive it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, we believe online, if you prayed that prayer or here in the room, you've received eternal life. Let's just sing this and I'll dismiss you in a moment. Or actually, Chris will dismiss you in a moment.
Just pray this morning as we leave that God, we will press into recovering all. Father, I just pray for each and every person in this auditorium this morning, God, that you will bless them through this week. Father, in health, finances, in their marriage, with their children, God, wherever there is a need this morning, Father, that they will leave and they will have a blessed week coming back next week and saying it was a fabulous week. Father, we just thank you for this day and all that you have deposited into each and every one of us. In your name we pray, amen.
Amen. Our ministry team is coming. Many times the first step to encourage yourself is to get courage to be encouraged. So don't be afraid to come down for prayer today. We believe in miracles. If you have something in your body today, headaches, that's a good one. We heard about that today. Come on down and receive prayer. God bless you. Have an amazing week.